Well, welcome back, fellow paranormal aficionados. I am back at it recording after over a 4-month hiatus. Thank you all so much, first and foremost, for your patience. Life gets in the way sometimes. I was busy working. I unfortunately have a sick dog I am caring for, so been a busy couple months post-graduation, and I have just simply not had the time or energy, but now that I'm able to come back and record a little bit, I was able to do some research and really get back in the mood to share some awesome stuff with you. We are about, this might surprise you, we are about 3/4 of the way through, maybe 2/3 of the way through the 518. And as of today, I have fully researched every single town, village, and basically undeclared, of the 518 area code, and I have grouped them all out, so it is very crazy to have finished basically looking through to see what towns actually have information, spooky lore, ghost stories, any haunted affiliations with them. We still have a good chunk of episodes left, but it is weird to be done with that portion of it. And I have some fun episodes planned where we are going to jump outside of the 518 or think about a specific topic within the 518. And I have some great guests coming up. So by no means are we close to being done. And that hiatus did not mean that this was the end. I just appreciate you all understanding. And I'm hoping that I'm able to get back into it and we can share some spooky stories together. So on that note, before we get started, I'm going to go ahead and crack my can open for what I'm drinking today. So I'm drinking it's called the Great Sacandaga Lake, and it's by Artisanal Brew Works, and it's got a really cool picture of the map of Sacandaga Lake on it, and it's called GSL Juice, a hazy, juicy India Pale Ale, and it looks like it's got like hibiscus flowers on it, so I'm wondering if it's got some sort of like tropically, maybe like fruity or floral flavor to it. So here we go. Oh, that is delicious. I am a sucker for hazy, basically unfiltered beer. So I do love a hazy IPA, and this does not disappoint. So definitely recommend it. So we're going to start today in Fort Edward. We're going to kind of do a little road trip because I didn't find enough in each town, maybe Fort Edward, but there were some things that needed to be said about some surrounding towns, be it personal stories or just short little spooky pieces of information. So we're going to start in Fort Edward, kind of make our way to Whitehall, Fort Ann, Hillsdale, and ending in Granville. So Fort Edward by far had the most. And I know I've talked about some of these on past episodes, but I wanted to dedicate a full episode to these towns in this specific area. So the first one is a haunting at a historic house. And the historic Jane McCrae, and that's MCCREA, Jane McCrae House, in Fort Edward, has been home to quite a few residents throughout the years, and in one particular that seems in no hurry to leave. So the historic Jane McCrae House in Fort Edward, and that's Jane McCrae spelled capital M, lowercase c, capital C, R-E-A, Jane McCrae. The Jane McCrae House in Fort Edward has been home to quite a few residents throughout the years, and one in particular that seems in no hurry to leave. A renowned figure in the area's local history, Jane McCrae was a 17-year-old New Jersey girl who arrived in town to live on a family's farm during the latter part of the 18th century. While here, she ended up getting engaged to a British officer. As the story goes, when hostilities were breaking out with the British Army, McCrae took cover at a, at a woman named Sarah McNeil's house, which is now the Jane McCrae house. In July of 1977, the two women tried to meet up with Jane's fiancé, but they encountered hostile Native Americans who captured and separated them. Sarah was ransomed to the British, but Jane was scalped and killed. Although the Jane McCrae house was moved from its original location after her death, there have been reports of footsteps in the attic and lights that mysteriously go on and off. And one must ask, is it Jane up there, or perhaps Sarah? And just note that the house is currently a private residence and so should be respected as such. I actually thought it was like a restaurant or a tavern or something, or even a museum, so that's interesting. The next one in Fort Edward is called the Anvil Inn, and apparently there's a naughty spirit there. The Anvil Inn has more than just delicious cranberry bread pudding behind their doors. The Fort Edward restaurant was originally a blacksmith shop in the 1840s and is situated on the outer walls of Fort Edward. Numerous eyewitness accounts have reported a female spirit hanging around, dropping bottles, turning lights on and off, and turning music on and off. As far as ghosts go, this lady doesn't seem too bad and more of a mischief maker than an actual dangerous spirit. The next one is at a health center for seniors. So those staying and working at the Fort Hudson Health System in Fort Edward might be in for a chilling experience. Ghost sightings reported here include a man dressed in black in the basement, a woman wearing a white nightgown, and a man walking around D-wing, making his way from room to room. The man in the basement is believed to be the ghost of a butler who worked at the mansion that once stood where the nursing home is now. And then the next one... So next we move on to the Old Fort House Museum, which is on Broadway in Fort Edward. It was constructed in 1772 to 1773, and it's one of the oldest wood frame houses in the area and has operated as a museum since 1953. It has a long history of inhabitants, from residents of the house to the Native Americans who lived here long before it was built. Some of these inhabitants can still be found here today, like the Revolutionary War soldier who can be found upstairs in the museum and has been spotted by staff as well as others. Visitors have been known to capture images of paranormal activities and spectral inhabitants on the property of their tours. And so then also just FYI, this was back in 2021, so I'm not sure if it happened in 2022, but the Old Fort House Museum did do a ghost tour. It looked like it was around 7 p.m. In October, on an October night. So it was led by Paul McCarty, who is the Fort Edward historian. So that's 29 Broadway, Fort Edward is the address. So if you're into that kind of stuff and you're in that area, it might be worth reaching out to the museum to see if that's something they still do. So next we're going to move on to Whitehall. And the first one we're going to talk about is Skeen Manor, and that's S-K-E-N-E. Skeen Manor, initially known as Mountain Terrace, is believed to be haunted by the wife of Philip Skeen, the original owner. The magnificent Victorian Gothic style mansion was built in the late 1800s and sits high on a mountain in Whitehall. The building features stone walls, chandeliers, and all of the features of a haunted dwelling. Legend has it that when his wife Catherine died, Philip kept her body on the property to keep her close. Ownership has changed several times between the late 1800s and early 1900s. In 1946, the manor was bought by a retired state trooper from Schenectady, Clayton Shear, and his wife. They gave the building the name it has today, Skeen Manor, in honor of Philip Skeen. The Shears modified the first floor into a bar and restaurant, and legend has it that Clayton discovered the coffin of Catherine Skeen behind the bar. Some claim the trooper made this story up to drum up interest in Skeen Manor and build business. Others say the coffin was initially in the basement and he brought it upstairs. Some speculate that she was buried in the garden on the property. Regardless of where Mrs. Skeen's final resting place was, some witnesses claim they have seen the ghost of a woman in a Victorian period gown near where the coffin is supposed to be by the bar. And the manor sits basically in the side of this mountain, and it looks down, and it's just really majestic and stunning looking. So I will definitely post a picture of that. It's above Whitehall, and it's just really, really beautiful. And then the next thing we're going to talk about is the legendary creature of Whitehall. Did you know that Whitehall is one of the top places in the country where you'll likely see or hear Bigfoot? Bigfoot, also known as Sasquatch or Yeti, has made its presence known in the small town since the late 1970s through sightings, footprints, and some even have claimed that they heard his distinctive cry. Whitehall has been featured in documentaries about Bigfoot and has been motivated to declare the creature the town's official animal. No one is allowed to hurt Bigfoot within the borders of the town. In 2016, Whitehall started holding a Sasquatch calling festival, which includes a Sasquatch calling contest in the fall. There's also now a Bigfoot statue pictured in above, which I will post this photo, that keeps watch over Route 4. Bigfoot is believed to be between 6 and 8 feet tall, with black to reddish brown fur, wide shoulders, and little to no neck. He is known to have a high-pitched scream and aversion to light, and he has exhibited both curiosity and a fear of humans. The most recent Bigfoot sighting in Whitehall was in August of 2018, when a man believes he saw the creature crossing Route 4. A Bigfoot investigator was brought in to take casts of the footprint left behind. Although some are skeptical about the sighting happening just a few weeks before the calling festival, the fact that Bigfoot sightings do tend to take place during the months of August, September, and October. But that's interesting. I did not know that it was actually more common in certain times of the year. So now we're going to head over to Fort Ann. And in Fort Ann, although there were no necessarily specific historical locations or public places that I could find, I did find a good couple personal stories. So same thing with Hillsdale and Granville. So we'll start off in Fort Ann. And this is submitted by Anonymous. One day I was sleeping and woke up with a jolt. I checked the time and it was around 1 a.m. And I thought, 1 a.m. already? Time to go back to sleep. I eventually started to drift into sleep, but then it happened. I felt something walk across my legs. I just lay there terrified. It then began, or the outlines of the legs. It began to spin around and settle down. The mark it left was weird looking. I began to think hard. I think hard if what it could be. And then I remembered, yesterday my dog, who was an 18-year-old Yorkie named Gilbert, passed away of old age. My heart then and there began to cry. I sat up and pet the spot of where the ghost was, but I felt nothing. Ever since then, I have always felt my three Yorkies, Gilbert, Toby, and Max, watched me every night. Usually I would feel scared, but why would I be scared of the ghost spirits of my past dogs? I miss them. That's sweet. The next one is submitted by Kathy. When I was a child living in an old house in Fort Ann, I saw a tall, ghostly figure walking down the hall toward my room in the middle of the night. He appeared to be wearing a garment such as a robe and appeared to be carrying a tray. He was semi-transparent. I was frightened because I had to get past him to go to my mother's room. He actually moved out of the way so I could get by. No one else in the family ever saw him, but we occasionally smelled a strong medicinal odor on the stairs. This happened many years ago, but I still remember it as if it were yesterday. That's interesting that it moved out of the way like that. Now we're going to head over to Hillsdale, and this is submitted by Ariana. On December 24th, on Christmas Eve, me and my sister and my brother were laying in my bed watching TV. We were home alone, the remote was on the other end of the bed, when all of a sudden the TV turned off and on. Then someone screamed in the kitchen. We checked outside and nobody was there. Then we heard creaking on the floor. This is not the first time it has happened. It happened on Halloween too when we were home alone, on Halloween of 2019 and then Christmas Eve of 2019 also. That's freaky to hear a scream. The next one is submitted by Victor. 20 years ago, my family lived across the street from the old Masonic Temple, just south of the main town square. One night when I was a child in the early 70s, I remember sitting under the stars on the front lawn. A figure opened the door to the temple and gestured for me to come inside. The guy was tall, dark, and had buck teeth as he smiled. I was curious about the goings-on in the temple, so I cautiously approached. The closer I got to the stranger the apparition was. First, he seemed to moan something about blood and cows. Then I noticed that he seemed to be levitating off the ground. Well, this was enough for me, so I ran home and told my father. My father, with a friend and a shotgun, went to the temple and found it abandoned. After that, I heard stories about the Masonic temple from others, like really crazy blood dripping down the walls in the basement. Even when I'm in the area, I avoid that building, especially at night. Oh, that's a creepy visual. All right, now we're heading on to Granville, last but not least. This is submitted by Anonymous. I was walking home from my usual walk in the woods that I used to do by myself. I saw 40 or 50 feet in front of me. It was full of a black shadow, maybe about 5 or 6 feet tall. It was walking toward me in the middle of the trail, and it went behind a tree. It peeked out from behind the tree at me, and then it went back behind the tree. I have never seen it before or after. There is an old slate quarry about a quarter or half a mile away from where I saw the shadow. The next one is also submitted by Anonymous. On Pine Street in Granville, New York, at the quarry. In the 60s, two teenagers were going swimming in the quarry and their swim clothes fell off their bodies. After a couple of minutes, they decided that they were done, but they couldn't find their swim clothes. Bathing suits? That's how they wrote it. Swim clothes. They stayed at the side of the quarry because they didn't bring any extra clothes with them. At night, they huddled together because of the lack of the heat, and they slowly fell asleep together because of the numbing hypothermia. What they didn't realize because of the hypothermia is that bacteria were feasting on their bodies. Okay. Next morning, because of the heat, they felt the worst pain of their lives, slowly putting them out of their misery. Neighbors heard their screams and found the bodies. The bodies were inspected, and the hospital found that their hearts were removed, but everything else was normal besides the noticeable bites of bacteria. If you go to the quarry, you can hear the almost mute screams of the couple slowly getting quieter. One can wonder, where did their hearts go? That sounds like an urban legend. Wow. And last but not least, another anonymous story to round out our shorter but sweet episode today. The Granville Post Office has been haunted ever since an old lady died there of a heart attack about 70 to 80 years ago. She picked up a package, and as she went towards the exit, she dropped dead on the floor. If you go in there now, you can hear the faint sound of something hitting the floor, looking down for a split second, and you will see the old lady lying there on the floor. Aww. I didn't believe in this story myself until one day I did see her myself. I heard the sound, looked down, and there she was on the floor. Well, that's a good way to round out our little episode. So I just wanted to give credit to glensfalls.com, hauntedhistorytrail.com, theoldforthousemuseum.com, glensfalls.com again, and of course, Ghosts of America, one of my favorite resources for personal stories. So again, I just wanted to say welcome back, everyone, and please reach out to me. Our email is thehaunted518@gmail.com. Share your personal stories. I would love to tell them. And keep your ears open for some great upcoming episodes with some fun guests on some really great topics. And I'm excited to delve into the towns and hamlets and cities that are left in the 518 to talk about. So as always, cheers. And on that note, happy haunting!